Good morning, Christ Redeemer Church. I really do intend to preach a sermon this morning and not just swim my way through some words here. But it really is a good thing to be together. I'm glad we're together this morning. And maybe if you don't know it, if you maybe are a guest with us today, this is your first time showing up with us, or you're maybe a little bit newer. There was a decision made recently that for various reasons, my pastoral role, my position as a discipleship pastor, we're going to remove that. And so today, after 15 years of pastoring in this church, after starting the church, here we are. This is my last Sunday as Thank you. That's encouraging. Thank you. Last Sunday with you as one of your pastors, and you mostly know that I'm not the primary preaching pastor. That hasn't been my role for my life in this church. I'm more invested in the various ministries that take place outside of this worship space, our Sunday worship services. But I have had the great opportunity to preach quite a few times still over the years, averaging about once a month or thereabouts, if you kind of add it all up, pushing almost 200 sermons. And so I thought it would be good to end the journey here with one final sermon. And so, this sermon was slated for about 35 minutes, by the way, so if it takes a little bit longer, bear with me. I really just want to say, church, that I love you. I leave you with love. That's the title of my sermon, and it is my heart for you. I leave you with love today. And what I mean by that is that I really do feel a warmth in my heart for you. I really do. And I want good for you. I want good for you. And secondly, I want what God wants for you. God's great desire for you is that you would love him with your whole being. And I want that for you. I share his desire for you. So, if he's willing, that's the direction we're going with the sermon here today. Really, those two parts, I love you, and I want what God wants for you, and that is to love him with your whole being. So please pray with me here again, and we'll press forward into these things. So Lord, really do thank you for the opportunity for us to be gathered here this morning, and just ask that you would please meet us. Please meet us here. You know what each of us needs from you this morning in terms of what that meeting might look like. You know what would be good for us as a church body. And so please meet us here this morning as you know that we would be good for us. And help us to know and help us to receive just afresh here this morning your love and be stirred up in love in response. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, first of all, church, let me say, I do love you. I really, really do love you. And when I say that, what I mean is that I love you. I love you. Not a meeting, not a building, not a program. I love you. I love the church. I love the people of God, the family of God, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I love you, the people, right? You've heard me say this many, many times over the years. The church is not a meeting that we attend. It is a family to which we belong. And I mean that. And I believe that's God's heart for the church. And so just let me remind you briefly here how God sees you, how God sees the church. Very briefly, 1 Peter 2, verse 9, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. You are God's special possession, his very own possession, a treasured possession. Or Isaiah 43, verse 4, I think this can apply to the church today. God says, you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. Spoken from the Father, from God the Father to his people. And I join him in that sentiment. That is true for you, CRC. I join him in that. You are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I love you. And, you know, it is crazy. It's been a while. Time flies. It was actually almost exactly 15 years ago. It was in May of 2010, if memory serves me. 2010 of May, or May of 2020, I got a call out of the blue from a guy that I knew about, but I had never met him, and that's Brett Lewis. And now as I think about it, actually, it might have been a text. I think he called me. I'm pretty sure it was a phone call. But he calls me out of the blue. Brett Lewis was the church planting resident with Bethlehem Baptist Church back then. And someone had given him my name as a guy who might be a good fit to help him plant a church that he was dreaming up. And so I got a call from him, again, sort of out of the blue. I had never met the man before, and I don't remember all the details, but I do remember that when we met up at a Caribou Coffee in Roseville, and I remember sitting across from each other there, and he explained to me how there had been just a ton of interest in the church so far. At that point, there had been a couple informational meetings that had been held, and there was a huge turnout for those informational meetings. And so just a lot of interest at this point. And so I remember Brett sitting across the table from me, and he just said, I need a partner. He said, I'm looking for a pastor. I'm looking for a shepherd. I remember those words really well. And so to make a long story short, of course, I connected with my bride, Karina, and we talked it over, and then eventually we got together with Brett and Molly, and we talked about it with them. Karina and I ended up going to Colorado, actually, to just seek some counsel and prayer from really sweet friends of ours in Colorado, and 15 years later, here we are. and so, praise God, and looking back then, I would say again that we did not set out to plant a Sunday worship service. We didn't set out to plant a meeting. We didn't set out to plant a building. We set out to plant a people, disciples of Jesus, who want to make more disciples of Jesus and want to wrap those disciples into the fold, into the family of God. Right, again, a meeting that you attend, not a meeting that you attend, but a family to which you belong. And I will say that is not just a catchy tagline, I don't think. I think really this is born out of the gospel that we love and that we stress so much in this church and as we have so often over the years. So the gospel, right, the gospel, the good news about Jesus, the good news that Jesus lived and died and was raised from the dead so that if we will trust in him for it, then we get forgiven Our sins are forgiven, and we get drawn into fellowship with God, and we gain the favor of God, and we get to be adopted into the family of God, and God is our Father, and we have the force of the Holy Spirit, and we have this promise of forever with God in new creation with Him and His people. It's incredibly good news, and it's good news not just for isolated individuals, but this is good news actually that creates a people, right? Jesus doesn't just save individuals, but He saves a people. And when we are saved as individuals, we get saved into a people. So you could think of Ephesians 2:19, for example. Excuse me. Spare you that on the microphone there. But think of Ephesians 2:19. It says that through faith in Jesus, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are, listen to this, members of the household of God. You are members of the household of God. It's really incredible. The gospel of Jesus makes us family. So not just forgiven, but family. The gospel of Jesus makes us family. And man, I am just so grateful, just so, so grateful that over these years, 15 years, so glad to be a part of this family, so glad that I got that call from Brett Lewis those years ago. I really do love you, and I really do see you loving each other. And I certainly have felt you love me and honor me and my family, certainly over the years. You have loved me and you have honored me by welcoming me into some really happy spaces in your lives. Just really good news spaces of your lives over the years. I can think of babies that are born and adoptions and marriages and baptisms and family vacations and other celebrations. And joy with you in ministry, like to be welcomed into the overflow of joy when you've experienced success in discipleship ministry and evangelism ministry and missional engagement. So, so good. Evangelism, seeker Bible studies, missional engagement with refugees and with gamers and with homeless and with lonely elderly and with foreign exchange students. We've seen success, joyful success in some of these things, and I've been welcomed into those spaces with you, and it's so, so good. There's joy in the confession of sin, joy in getting help, joy in giving and receiving forgiveness, or joy just engaging with you socially over the years, which really ends up being just a cover for really deep and good fellowship. And occasion oftentimes for pastoral care. And you've welcomed me into that. A number of times that I've been able to meet with you, especially many of you men, whether that's one-on-one or over a drink or over a meal or in a group around a fire, man, I just have to say those times have been so grounding for me, so stabilizing for me. And it's just been a joy to be able to be welcomed into those spaces over these 15 years, many moments of joy. And that feels like love to me. That feels like you're loving me in those things. It feels like you're honoring me in those things for these 15 years. And I'm really thankful for it. And I have tried to love you as well. And I've tried to honor you as well as I have entered into those spaces with you. And you have loved me and you've honored me well as you've welcomed me into the hard spaces over the last 15 years as well. I know that many of you have gone through a lot of dark times in the last 15 years. You've seen a lot of hardship. You've felt pain. You've felt hurt. It's been tough. It hasn't all been rainbows and unicorns, right, for the last 15 years. And I feel loved and honored that you would welcome me into those hard spaces with you. I know there has been death. There has been really significant marriage struggles, betrayal in marriages, personal besetting sins, miscarriages, discouragement, just discouragement in parenting, or discontent or disappointment at work, or even disappointment with this church. I know that you've experienced job loss. You've experienced doubt about the church. You've experienced doubt about God's love, divorce, hardship in extended families, cancer. Many moments to grieve over these last 15 years. And you have loved me and you have honored me to welcome me into those spaces with you. And I've tried to love you and to honor you in sitting with you in some of those spaces. And you've been gracious with me in that, by the way, and I want to say thank you. You have been gracious with me. You've been patient with me over the years when I have said or I have done too much in those spaces, or if I have not said or I have not done enough in those spaces, I not being sensitive enough, just not even thinking about what I should have said or thought in some of those moments. And man, I am sorry for those missteps, and I'm so thankful for the grace that you've shown me. And I know that, I'm not the only one that's experienced grace. This is a church where there's grace and there's forgiveness, and it is amazing. It's so, so good. And that's good fruit, church. Grace, forgiveness, that is good fruit. That is fruit of the gospel. That's fruit of the gospel believed, right? 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. I love you. I've seen you love one another because of the gospel, because of the first love of God in the ministry of Jesus. I've seen that. Not perfectly, but true. Not perfect love, but true love. I've seen it. I've seen it in you. And so I just want to thank you again for letting me into your lives, for allowing me to weep with you and to rejoice with you and to pray with you and to pray for you, to serve you with preaching and with teaching and with one-on-one and smaller groupings of discipleship and fellowship and counseling. I really do love you. I have felt your love for me and for one another. That is a love that is born out of the gospel that we cherish in this church. Hebrews 13, verse 17, it says that we should let our leaders minister with joy and not with groaning. Let them do this with joy, it says, and not with groaning. And I can tell you from the bottom of my heart, after these 15 years, from the bottom of my heart, I feel today that all said and done, it has been a joy to be one of your pastors. Really. Much more a joy than it's been groaning. Maybe a little bit of groaning from time to time, but no, lots and lots and lots of joy. So thank you, praise God for that and for you. And so leaving you with love, I also want to remind you of God's great desire for you, what he wants for you, I want for you, and that is that you would love him with your whole self, with all of who you are. And I take that from Mark chapter 12, so Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 31, and we'll read from there in a second, but just to kind of set a little bit of context there, Mark 12, Jesus is being questioned in Mark 12 by various religious leaders, Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, and they're basically trying to trap Jesus with his questions or with these questions. And then in verse 28, which we'll read in a second, we see that one of these scribes seems to be really impressed by how Jesus is answering these questions. And so he approaches Jesus, not to really challenge him, but he has a question of his own, and I don't think it's meant to trap him. I think it's actually a fairly sincere question. And so we can read this. It should be on the screen behind you, but this is Mark 12, 28 to 31. And it says this, it says, "And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked, 'Which commandment is the most important of all?' And Jesus answered, 'The most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" So this scribe, again here, this scribe, sincere question for him. Basically, he's trying to ask Jesus, like, boil it down for me. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of commands in the Old Testament. Boil it down, like, what's kind of at the bottom of it, right? What's the greatest one? What reflects the real core heart of all of those commands from God? And Jesus responds here, quoting from a couple different places in the Old Testament, to say what he says is the very core of the heart of all that God wants of his people. And that is, he says, I'd highlight verse 30, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength," right? So this is often called the great commandment, the great commandment. And just to focus on that a little bit, we do call this a commandment, but I would suggest, you know, that what is a commandment of God but an expression of his heart, right? An expression of his desires. So this is what God wants. It's a command, yep. It's a requirement, yes. But really, it is an expression of something deeper in the heart of God. It reflects his deep desire for us. And really, even I would say it's God offering to us what we deeply need. God is offering to us in this what we deeply need. So about a month ago now, I think it was April 30th, this was the day after I learned and found out about the fact that my role was going to be eliminated. And that morning, of course, my thoughts and my heart was like everywhere. And just thinking of being in this place that I never would have expected I would be, the Lord actually was very gracious with me that morning. And I actually had some very sweet, intimate time with the Lord that morning. And so the pain, the confusion, still God met me very sweetly. And in that time, I drew on this liturgical prayer book that I have. I use it from time to time. It's helpful for me. It's called Every Moment Holy. And one of the morning prayers in that book, it's actually more designed for like call and response with a group, but I've always used it just personally. It's been very helpful. And so a morning prayer opens with this question. It asks, "O children of the living God, what is your Father's," that is God the Father, "your Father's greatest desire for you this day?" And then the response is that we should love our eternal King with all our hearts and all our souls and all our minds and with all our strength. And as I read that word desire, it just arrested me. It grabbed me in that moment. What does God desire? What does he want for me? And that just grabbed me. That's a great question. And I was feeling in this time, like, man, what am I going to do? I need a job. I need answers. I need clarity. I need a plan. I need support. I need. And it struck me, it seemed in that moment that God was saying, this is what you need, Thomas. You need love me with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I am what you need. You need full, robust, and life-filling love from me is what I need. And I was convicted in that this is my greatest need at all times, but especially in this season. What I greatly need is what God greatly desires for me. And it is that I love him, that I am refreshed and renewed and refined and recalibrated in my love for him. And as I meditated on that, I received that really not so much as a command, but really an invitation, like an invitation from God into being shaped by that desire, shaped evermore into a man who loves God like this. And I would leave you with the same today. I would leave you with the same today, really. I want to leave you with this love, with this reminder, and for you to hear afresh about God's great desire for you, that what he really wants of you, to hear this invitation to you to love him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And listen, God loves us. So it makes sense that he would call us to this, right? Because God loves us. He wants what's truly good for us. He wants the best for us. And he is the best. He is the best. He's the most lovely, the most loving, the most lovable being in the universe. And so it is good and it is right and it is truly loving of him to call us to this supreme love for him, this supreme allegiance to him. And so just want to think for a minute here. Think with me for a minute. Be reminded of this. What does it mean to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Here, sort of as Jesus highlights it. And I don't think Jesus is like giving us a checklist here, right? So he's not like, okay, love God with your heart. Okay, got it, check. Now love him with your soul. Okay, yep, I've loved him with my soul. Now I got to love him with my mind, right? That's not what Jesus is doing here. Jesus is sort of stacking up these ideas simply to stress that our love for God is to be full. It is to be complete. Our love for God is supreme. It is to fill us. It is to consume us and flow from us from every nook and cranny of our being. There's no compartmentalizing our love for God. It is supreme. It's everywhere in us and through us. So, right, we might sometimes think, okay, what are my priorities in life? It's a good thing to think about. And maybe you've done this, but maybe you've thought about it like this. You said, well, okay, the priority, well, God, and then family, and then church, and then job, and maybe country is in there somewhere, or just wherever they are. But it's just like rank order of priorities, right? And I think that Jesus is not quite calling us there with this. I think he's saying, no, that's too compartmentalized. That is too compartmentalized. It's not that our lives are sort of like this pie chart, and so here's a slice for God, here's a slice for family, here's a slice for my job or my hobbies, and again, here's a slice, one slice of the pie for God. No, right? God is the pie, basically, and our priority is God, and it's God in family, God in church, God in job, God in our hobbies, God in, and so on and so forth. It's love for God consuming us, flowing from us from every space of our lives to energize us, to compel us, to inspire us, to motivate us, to steer us. Love for God. And again, I think Jesus is, he's using these different areas of our person just to get to that, all right? But we could think on this just for a couple minutes, these different areas of our person. So our heart, to love God with all of our heart, we might say that that is to love God with our affections. It's to love him with our desires. It's to make choices and things that align with God's heart, his affections, his desires. And God wants that for us. Or our soul, to love God with all of our soul. It might be to say that essentially this is looking at God as our very greatest treasure. At the core of who we are, our identity, God is our greatest treasure. God is our deepest satisfaction. And we are fully and utterly dependent on God at the deepest core of who we are. Loving God with our soul. One of Jesus's parables, he compared the kingdom of God, you might remember, to a treasure hidden in a field. And he speaks of a person discovering that treasure, and then he goes and he sells everything that he has to buy that field. Why does he buy the field? Because the treasure is in the field. And that's maybe like loving God with all of our soul. He is the greatest treasure at the core of our being, and he's literally worth everything. And that is what God wants of us. That's what he wants of us. And then our mind, this is our thinking, right? Our intellect, our understanding. And so to love God with our minds, we might say that we value his truth, we pursue his wisdom, we aim to think his thoughts after him. Our belief structure, our worldview, it accords with God and what he says about these things and what he's revealed to us about these things, primarily in the Bible. So we want to know what he says is good and right and true, and we want to submit ourselves to that and live by that. And God desires that for us. And then our strength, right? To love God with all of our strength. We might say this is to use our time, our abilities, our gifts, our resources, all of our time, our talent and treasure, really submitted ultimately to his purposes. So we're very open. God, use me however you want to use me. I am fully submitted to you. Loving God with our strength. And so all of this, again, loving God with in all of these ways, again, this is just Jesus not giving us a checklist, but just trying to fill out, like, this is God's heart. God wants for us just total, wholehearted devotion to him. Every cell in our being just fully enthralled with God. John Piper says it like this. John Piper says, this is the first and great commandment. Love God. In other words, rejoice in God, be glad in God, delight in God, enjoy God, be satisfied in the greatest beauty and the greatest treasure in the universe. He also says this. He says, loving God doesn't mean working for God. Loving God means you're my favorite. You're all satisfying. You're beautiful. You meet every longing that I have. I delight in you. I'm satisfied in who you are. And that's a tall order, right? Do I love God like that? Do you love God like that? And I think, of course, we'd have to say, well, no, not as much as I sure would like to, right? We fall short of that. So often we fall short, more than we want to admit. But praise Jesus. Praise Jesus, because Jesus did and does perfectly love God like that. And he does so on our behalf. He does it for us. He does, and he always has, love God the Father with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And in his love for us, he took, on the cross, he took our lack of love. And through faith in him, we get credited with his perfect love for the Father. We are clothed in that. In our position before God, we are clothed in the love of Jesus for the Father. We're clothed in it in position. And still, this still is God's heart for us in the here and now affections and activities of our lives. We still want to aim to actually practice more and more what we already are in position before the Lord. And this is what God calls us to. So how do we do that? Well, answer, from me by now, you'd probably expect the answer is the gospel. That's the answer of how we do that. And the gospel is the good news of God's love expressed in the ministry of Jesus. And a major benefit of that, a major good of that good news is, listen to this, Romans 5, verse 5. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Who has been given to us? So catch that. God's love, his love in Jesus, his ministry of life, death, and resurrection, and that love poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who's been given to us. We have the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, inside of us as a gospel gift. This is a gift of the gospel, right? So the gospel is not just about getting saved, getting forgiven, getting accepted by God. It is that, and grounded in that acceptance, grounded in that forgiveness. Now through Jesus' gospel ministry, we have the Holy Spirit to shape us, to reorder our desires, to ground our identity in Christ, to make us to see and to savor God for who he is as our greatest joy, to delight in his truth, to offer our time and our talent and our treasure for his purposes, however he might lead us along those lines. And so 1 John 4:19 again, we love because he first loved us. So he first loved us. He proved that in the gospel of Jesus. He proved that in giving us the Holy Spirit. And now he loves us first. And so now we love by the Spirit. Not on our own, but by the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And man, I am encouraged, church, because I have seen you walk this out in all kinds of different ways over the 15 years that I've been around. I've seen this. Not perfectly, of course, but really, truly, this has been walked out. And that's good because, of course, in that Mark 12 text, it says, love God and love others, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. And in fact, that is the primary way of how we show or how we express our love for God. It's that we love others. And I have seen you love one another in this church family. I have felt your love for me here, and I have seen you love others outside of this church family. I've seen it. I've rejoiced with you in it. I've wrestled with you in it. It's so good. And you have loved with emotional support. You have loved with spiritual encouragement and accountability inside and outside, missional engagement. You've given physical help, financial help. I've seen you teaching one another and counseling one another and feeding one another. I've seen you offer oil changes to one another and break jobs and childcare and support in grief. I've seen you give literally money for food and money for furnaces and money for rent. I've seen you offer words of encouragement, words of constructive challenge, and hospitality in various forms. You've given rides to people's appointments. I've seen these things, and that's not all of it. But I've seen it regularly for 15 years that I've been here. This church family, in this church and through you to others outside of this church. And I want to believe that that is a fruit of our gospel focus, our gospel-centeredness over the years. And by God's grace, our focus on the gospel, that has impacted like how we do community, how we engage one another in community, and it's impacted how we engage those outside of our community. And as others have seen our love for one another, which is really just a reflection of the love we get of God, but as others have seen our love for one another, others have seen that love, they've been welcomed into this love, and in you, and in this love, they have seen Jesus. They have seen Jesus in this love, in you. And he's beautiful. He is beautiful. And I've seen that in this church in one way or another for my 15-year history. Again, a gospel-centered, a gospel-informed, a gospel-shaped, a gospel-inspired love for God that is expressed in love for one another and is reflected out to demonstrate Jesus and demonstrate the gospel that we declare outside of us as well. And it's just been beautiful. This church is a trophy of God's grace. A trophy of God's grace. And so, again, thank you. Thank you. It has been a deep, deep joy to be a part of this ministry with you over the years. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for your trust. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for your love over the years. Really. And listen, I will say this. I've heard from many of you, and I know that this moment in our church's history, it's wonky. It's not in and of itself like good, right? It's a tough spot to be. That our church would find itself in a place to lose one of her pastors, and I know that that has been stinging for some of you, as I've heard, and it certainly stings me. But if you're feeling that, just listen. I was actually encouraged by this from a fella in our network of churches, and he reminded me of Psalm 56, verse 8. And I just want to give this to you as well. Psalm 56, verse 8, it says, "You, God, you have kept count of my tossings. Put my tears in your bottle." That's a funny way to speak, but just listen to that. You, God, you have kept count of my tossings. Put my tears in your bottle. So my tossings, our restlessness, our anxiousness, our confusion, our wanderings of thought and heart and mind. Listen, the Lord captures every tear. He captures every tear. Every restless, every confused, anxious thought, he sees it. He knows about it, and it matters to him. It matters to him. You matter to him. This church matters to the Lord. He cares, and he's a good, good father. He is a wise father, and he will see us through this tough season. And with that, again, I just want to leave you with love today. I love you. I want for you what God wants for you, that you would love him with your whole being. So keep holding fast to the gospel. Keep loving God. Keep loving one another. Keep loving others outside of our church family. Keep showing and sharing Jesus. Let's pray. And so, Lord, I do thank you for this time that we've been able to share this morning. Thank you for the reminders of your word. And Lord, I would just ask you to do for us really what I've just mentioned, that you would help us to keep holding fast to the gospel, that you would help us to keep loving you, you would help us to keep loving one another, you'd help us to keep loving those outside of us, and you'd keep helping us to keep showing and sharing the gospel. Amen. Amen. Thank you. 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 Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.